رسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وبعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This talk, inshallah, that we're going to be presenting over the next 2 or 3 days, inshallah, in 2 or 3 parts, is entitled Man Huwa Sunni. Who is the Sunni? Who is the person that is the Sunni? And before we begin, or as an introduction to this particular talk over the next 2 or 3 days on who is a Sunni, we need to know that every Salafi is a Sunni. Every Salafi is a Sunni. He cannot enter into the room of Salafiyya unless he came through the door of Sunniyya. But every Sunni is not necessarily a Salafi. Every Sunni is not necessarily a Salafi. So here, when we say man huwa sunni, we mean man huwa sunniyun salafiyun. Who is a sunni / salafi? That's what's intended by sunni here. Every salafi is a sunni, but not the opposite, not necessarily. Every sunni doesn't mean that he's a salafi. قال الإمام أبو محمد الحسن بن علي البربهاري رحمه الله تعالى ولا يحل لرجل مسلم أن يقول فلان صاحب سنة حتى يعلم أنه قد اجتمع فيه خصال السنة لا يقال له صاحب سنة حتى تجتمع فيه السنة كلها. انتهى كلام إمام أبو محمد الحسن the son of Ali al-Barbahari, of whom we know died in the 4th century 329 after the Hijra. He said that it is not permissible for a Muslim man, male or female, it's not permissible for them to say that so-and-so or so-and-so is sahibu sunnah, is a person of the sunnah. It's not permissible for anyone, for a Muslim, to say that so-and-so or so-and-so, fulan, alan, is sahibu sunnah. It's not permissible. Until he, the person who's saying that about this person, until he or she knows for a fact that the characteristics and the traits of the sunnah are in that person, are combined in that person. So it should not be said, Imam al-Barbahari, about this person, that he is sahib sunnah, until all of the sunnah is in that person. All of those basic fundamental qualities that makes a person sunni is combined in that person. And I remember when visiting Sheikh Rabi' al-Sunnah, Habibahu Allah Ta'ala, the last time that I saw him at his house. In fact, I think it was the last time that myself and Abu Khadija and Dawood Burbank and those brothers that were with us, we visited Sheikh Rabi'a's house, the last time I was with them there. I told Sheikh Rabi'a that there's an individual who lives right here in Mecca, who said about Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, and this was said here in South Jersey, it was said by Wajdi al-Ghazawi, and he said from the reports that the brothers who were witnessing and heard him say it, they told me that he said that Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani is good in hadith and he's good in fiqh, but he's not good in aqidah. He doesn't really know aqidah. And as soon as I said that, Sheikh Rabi'a, the Imam, the carrier of, maybe the Sheikh Rabi'a, The Imam, the carrier of the flag of Al-Jarh al-Ta'dil, Hafidhahullah, immediately he said, that is the statement or the speech of the people who attribute irja to Shaykh al-Albani. He said, that's the speech of the people who are with Safar al-Hawali. I didn't say the person's name. I didn't tell him that it was Wajdi al-Ghazawi. I said, there's a person living right here in Mecca. Then I told him his name. Immediately the Shaykh told me exactly who it was. Basically, the person, the type of the person. And it was right on point. 100% he hit the bullseye. He said, the people who are saying this, they're with this type of person. They're with Safar al-Hawali. That's who said this. I said, yes, it's Wajdi al-Ghazawi right here. He said, how could someone say that about Shaykh al-Albani, that he's good in hadith and he's good in fiqh, but he doesn't know aqidah, when the hadith and the fiqh comes from the aqidah? He said, and he, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, was sahib al-sunnah. He said, Shaykh al-Albani was sahib al-sunnah. So Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, it's not permissible for someone to say that so-and-so is sahib al-sunnah, that he's a person of the sunnah, until those qualities of the sunnah are combined in him. And Shaykh Rabi' said about Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, that he was sahib al-sunnah. The same thing that was said about Shaykh Falih al-Harbi, that he is sahib al-sunnah. The same thing has been said about Shaykh Rabi' himself, that he is sahib al-sunnah. The same thing has been said about Shaykh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, rahimahumullah, that he is sahib al-sunnah. The same thing was said about Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, and Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, and Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri. All of them are ashab al-sunan. Not ashab al-sunan in the sense of hadith, like Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi ibn Majah and Nasa'i, but ashab al-sunnah in the wider sense. So Imam al-Barbahari says it's not permissible to say that about a person until those qualities of the sunnah are combined in that person. So we want to know, man huwa sunni? Who is a sunni? Who is a salafi? One of the first, and it's not restricted to these points, and over the next two or three days, we're going to discuss, give 16 points on who is a sunni. 16. Today we'll deal with the first five, insha'Allah. The first, As-sunniyu huwa alladhi yafhamu al-kitaba wa sunnah kama fahimaha salafan al-salih wa ridwanallahi alayhim ajma'in. The sunni is the one who understands the book and the sunnah the way our rightly guided predecessors understood it. The sunni is the one who understands, he has the fahm, and he has the fiqh of the book of Allah and the sunnah of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the way those people who preceded us in righteousness and khayriya and goodness, the sahaba and the tabi'un and the tabu' tabi'een, radwanallahi alayhim ajma'een, how they understood it. If the person understands it that way, no matter what color he may be, what language he may speak, what geographical location he may dwell in, he is going to be a sunni with that specific particular trait of being a sunni. It doesn't mean now that he is sahib al-sunnah, because sahib al-sunnah is the one who has all the traits. And once again, this is only 16 of them. So the person who understands it the way that those people of the past understood it, then he is a sunni. لا كما يقول أهل البدع والأهواء. Not like the way the people of innovations and desires say, هم رجال ونحن رجال. They are men, they were men, and we're men. Not like those people who say that. They are men, and we're men. So the first characteristic that we need to know to test ourselves, the litmus test, is do we understand the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the way the people of the past understood the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Of course, we're not going to know it on the same level as them, but do we have the same general understanding of these ayat? Do we accept the ayat the way they made the tafsir of these ayat, the way they explain these authentic, pure, pristine hadiths? Do we accept them and understand them the way they accepted and understood them? This is what is meant by this. Number two, as-sunni huwa alladhi yanqadu wa yaslamu 'inda sama'ihi qawl ar-rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa la yastahzi'u bin nusus an-nabawiyyah mithlu al-Ghazali al-Halik aw al-Qardawi aw at-Turabi wa man naha nahbahum wa salaka sabilahum. The second trait to determine who is a Sunni, and we should apply this to ourselves, the Sunni is the one who makes himself acquiesce, surrenders, and submits himself to that which he hears from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he does not make mockery of the prophetic text. He does not make mockery of the prophetic text. The person that is a Sunni, he is the one who submits. Because the believer is like a camel that just submits. When he's pulled, he just comes. That's the way the believer is. He submits. Imtithalan, compliantly, lovingly, without any coercion or force. He's not compelled to submit. He submits willfully, willingly, and he acquiesces to that which he hears. He surrenders to the statements of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman mazida. He submits totally. And he is one who does not make istihza' bin nususun nabawiyyah. He doesn't make mockery of the prophetic text. And of course, before that is the Quran. He doesn't make mockery of the Quran. He doesn't make mockery of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadiths that have been transmitted to us by way of those illustrious, rightly guided predecessors, the sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, meaning the people who make mockery, like al-Ghazali. And Ghazali, we're not talking about Ghazali. We're not talking about Ghazali, we're talking about Ghazali. There's a Ghazali and Ghazali. Ghazali of old Abu Hamid, the great scholar of Usul al-Fiqh, the one who was tested by Allah to fall into tasawwuf, into Sufism. We're not talking about him. The one who, inshallah ta'ala, repented, as some of the reports say, that he died with a copy of Sahih al-Bukhari on his chest, and Allah knows best. We're not talking about him. We're talking about the Muhammad Ghazali al-Azhari, the one who died within this past 10 years from Azhar University, the one who said with his tongue, in the introduction of his book called Fiqh al-Sirah, which has been translated into English, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, it has the checking of many of the narrations within this book by Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, which shows that that book has some worth. Anytime you see Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah or any of the scholars of his magnitude, the scholars of hadith specifically, if you see them or you find that they check a book, they take the time to check the narrations of a book, to go through them, to separate those narrations that are sound from those that are weak, those that are healthy from those that are sick. When you see that being done, then you should look at that as the Shaykh sees something in this book that has some benefit, or he wouldn't have taken the time to go through those narrations. So if the Shaykh went through Fiqh al-Sunnah by Sayyid Sabiq, that means to Shaykh al-Albani that book has some value. Even though Sayyid Sabiq is not Sunni Salafi. The book Lawful and Prohibited in Islam by Yusuf al-Qardawi, Sheikh al-Albani went from the beginning of that book to the end of that book, checking all the narrations in that book, hundreds. Even though we know that Yusuf al-Qardawi is out of it. He is out of this universe. May Allah guide him to the Sunnah and to Salafiyya, to the Aqidah al-Salafiyya and to the Manhaj Salafi. May Allah guide him to the Sunnah in the general sense. In the general sense, not Salafiyya, may He guide him to the Sunnah, because he's not even a Sunni. And when we mean by Sunnah here, we don't mean like the Shia and Sunni, we don't mean that sense. So if Sheikh al-Albani saw something, you went through this book and checked the narrations in this book, that means that this book has some benefit, or he wouldn't have taken the time, his precious time, to go through the book. But this person, Muhammad Ghazali, who's now deceased as we mentioned, he wrote among the books that he has written, one of them is called Fiqh al-Sirah. It's a history book about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. And Sheikh al-Albani went through that book and did many, if not most, or all of those narrations. In the introduction of that book, and we're going to bring it in loose terms, not exactly what he said, but this is the meaning of what he said. He said, Muhammad Ghazali that is, sometimes I find a hadith that is unauthentic, like in al-Bukhari, and like in Muslim, or the like, Sahih al-Bukhari or Sahih Muslim. And if it goes against actual facts, or historical facts, or scientific facts, or that which I think is in contradiction with the Quran, then I don't accept it. I don't accept it. And in some cases, this is Dawood Adib speaking now, in some cases, he would not only not accept those narrations in al-Bukhari and Muslim, he would make mockery of those hadiths in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. He mentions this in the introduction of his book called Fiqh al-Sirah. He also mentions in the same paragraph, or shortly thereafter, he says, likewise, if I find a hadith that is weak, and he knows it's weak, he says, I will use it. If I feel that it goes in accordance with the book of Allah, I will use it. So we're not, the Sunni is not one who doesn't submit, he's one who submits to the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we were alive in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would accept what he said immediately without any taraddud, no hesitation whatsoever. No hesitation whatsoever. And since he is dead, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we now, when we open up Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, or any of the books that have been authenticated, those hadiths that have been authenticated, when we see in Abu Dawood and the like, and in Muwatta ibn Malik, we accept what the Messenger of Allah said when we hear or read the statement. Not like Ghazali, who rejects them and makes mockery of them. Not like al-Qardawi. And we can go to some of the publications and we can see a lot of statements about Yusuf al-Qardawi, the wicked mufti. The one who Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah, called the howling dog. And he wrote a book against him and about him, exposing him in detail. Iskat Kelbu'awi, silencing the howling dog. Actually, I would have preferred to translate dog another way. I would have preferred to say, Iskat Kelba Awi, and then translated the way that we know that Kelba is translated to, and I won't say it, but it's the B word. The B word, the female dog. I would have preferred to call him that, but Sheikh Muqbil is over me, so we have to call it by what he called it, silencing the howling dog, but I would have called him silencing the howling bee. I wouldn't even have given him the masculine gender of the word dog. I would have given him the feminine gender of the word dog. Not like him. Or not like al-Turabi, Hassan al-Turabi, who I had the displeasure of meeting and talking to and learning firsthand that he's a kadhab. I met him at the ambassador's house to Sudan from the United States quite a few years back in New York. And I asked him a couple of questions, and when he answered me, it was clear to me that he was a liar. This Turabi, Hassan Turabi from Sudan, I think some of the ulama, I can't remember who they are, I think they took him out of Islam after he took himself out of Islam. I don't even think he's considered Muslim, and Allah knows best. He's the one that says we don't accept what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the fly, one of those pesky little creatures that drops into your vessel. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you turn, you know, stir it up a little bit, and you take it out, and then you drink it because the antidote and the illness is in one wing, and the antidote is in the other wing. He says, we don't accept this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a doctor, he wasn't a scientist, he didn't know, so we don't accept that. That's the statement of Hassan Turabi. It's the same guy that said that there's a door in Jannah for singers and musicians. So the Sunni is not like those people. That's just three of the many examples we could be given. We could give Abu Ghudda, we could give Al-Kawthari, we can give a lot of examples of people who are not Sunni and people who make mockery of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are not like those people. We are not like those people, nor anyone who follows their footsteps, traverses their way. We're not like them whatsoever. We accept what the Messenger of Allah says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We accept what the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said. And I'd like to make a special note on the side that, and we've said this in the past, that if your wife has a problem with polygyny, it doesn't mean that she is not accepting the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she hears it. In many cases, the sisters, they're not falling into kufr, as some brothers try to make them think they are, so they can get that other wife. They start telling their wives that, you know, you've fallen into kufr, and you know, you this and you that, you're not really Salafiya, and you... No, what it is, is the sister is not accepting the way she hears of those many stories of how the brothers are doing it wrong and messing it up. Basically, that's what she's rejecting. She's not rejecting polygyny itself. She's not making mockery of polygyny itself. She's not rejecting the statement of the Messenger of Allah or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm sure all of the sisters behind the screen would agree that those who have a problem with it, they don't have a problem with it. They have a problem with what brothers do with it. So we don't include them among these people. I'm sure that the sisters, all the sisters would agree with that. Because if she rejects it totally, and she says it's not a good thing, and it's a bad thing, etc., 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 and you explain to her, this is from the Book of Allah, this is from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she's not insane, or something like that, she doesn't have a mental disability, and she understands completely, and she still says, I don't accept it, I don't like it, it's no good, then she has fallen into kufr, and we're still not going to say that she's a kafira. We're going to wait and be patient and see what happens after that. That's just one example I thought that I would use. I think that's appropriate to wake us up in case we fall asleep. As-sunniyu huwa alladhi idha qila lahu min as-sunnah kadha yaslamu wa la yaqulu da'awna min as-sunnati wa atawna bil Qur'an. The Sunni, he's the one who, when it is said to him from the Sunnah, such and such, he submits. And he is not the one who says, leave us with the Sunnah. Get out of here with the Sunnah. In other words, we don't want to hear the Sunnah. Just come to us. Utuna bil Quran. Come to us with the Quran. We don't want to hear anything about the Sunnah. And this can be done two different ways, or one of two ways. Either the person will literally come out, the non-Sunni, will literally come out and say, I don't want to hear this. That's hadith. And we hear it. We hear people saying this to us. I don't want to hear that. Just bring me an ayah of Quran. I don't want to hear that. And the people that stands out in our minds, probably out of all the people in America, The people that stand out in our mind, probably the first people we'll think about that we can say that are like this, are the followers of willfully deviant Muhammad. Right? W.D. Muhammad. Or wrong direction Muhammad. Or Warith Ghayruddin Muhammad. Warith, the one who doesn't have any deen. His followers are the ones who, and for the most part, when you hear them, when you hear this kind of statement, you usually automatically know that's one of those Wallace D. Muhammad guys. They're the only ones that I know of that'll come right out today, except for Rashad Khalifa's followers, the now deceased, walillah alhamd, Rashad Khalifa, the Egyptian, who was claiming prophethood and messengership from Tucson, Arizona. Those people that are on that site called the Submitters.com. They're not Muslims, they're Kafirs. Those are the only two groups that I know of. And Dr. York's group, they were similar to that. Not totally. They would accept some hadiths, like WD's people, they would accept some hadiths. But to come right out with their mouth when you say, the sunnah is this and the sunnah that, or the prophet said this or the prophet said that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'll immediately say, bring me an ayah of Quran. And some people who claim sunniya, they also say this. But they say it in a way that they have some justification for it. Because there's a statement from Ibn Kathir al-Dimashqi, al-Salafi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ibn Kathir has in his tafsir that the methodology of learning or studying the Quran or making tafsir of the Quran is that you go to the Quran first. You go to the Quran first. فَإِنْ أَعْيَاهُ ذَلِكَ. And then when that's exhausted, then you go to the sunnah. So someone might read this and say, well, here's my proof right there. Ibn Kathir, he said you go to the Quran first. So I can say to you, when you say the Prophet said such and such, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave me off with that, leave that. Just bring me the Quran first. I want to hear what Allah says first. But Shaykh Nasiruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, in a speech I heard him give back in 1987 or 88, I think it was, in Jeddah, the name of the speech, I believe it was in Ta'if or Jeddah, was called Kayfa Nufassiru al-Quran. How do we make tafsir of the Quran? Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said, no. We don't look at the Quran first, and then when that's exhausted, we look at the sunnah. He says, no. We look at the Quran and the sunnah together. He said, you look at the Quran and the sunnah together. Why? It's because you don't separate those two aspects of al-wahi. You don't separate the two aspects of revelation. Both of them are revelation. One, matlu, and the other one, ghayru matlu. One is the recited revelation that you recite in your prayers. The other one is the unrecited one, the one you don't recite in your prayers. Both of them are revelation. Both of them are equal. Both of them are equal. The Sunni/Salafi knows that the Quran and the Sunnah are equal in terms of legislation. They are equal in terms of legislation. So we look at the Quran and the Sunnah together. So the person says, leave off this Sunnah. We don't want to hear that. Just bring us the Quran. And he doesn't submit. Then this is one of the traits of a person who's not a Sunni. An example of this. Mithal. Al-Mithal al-Awwal. Qala Abu Fayyib. Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Farisi. Sahibu kitab al-Jawahir al-Usul. Fi ilmi hadith al-Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sami'tu al-Shaykh Aba Bakr Ahmad ibn Ishaq al-Faqih. وهو يناظر رجلا فقال الشيخ حدثنا فلان فقال الرجل دعنا من حدثنا إلى متى حدثنا فقال الشيخ قم يا كافر فلا يحل لك أن تدخل داري بعد هذا. أبو الفيض محمد ابن محمد الفارسي رحمه الله تعالى, who was the author of the book entitled جواهر الأصول في علم الحديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, I heard the Shaykh Abu Bakr Ahmed, the son of Ishaq, the Faqih, Al-Faqih, while he was debating an individual, and so the Shaykh said, so-and-so related or so-and-so reported. So the man said, leave off who reported to when he reported. Leave this stuff off. Who reported to when he reported. You know, similar to the Sufis. Not as bad as the Sufis, the statement. Leave off whoever reported to when reported. But the Sufis, they go even further than that. They don't say, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا فُلَانْ وَفُلَانْ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا فُلَانْ وَفُلَانْ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا حَدَّثَنَا عَنْ so-and-so. So-and-so reported, so-and-so reported to us, so-and-so informed us on the authority of so-and-so, like a regular chain of hadith. A dog narrated to us. Or, حَدَّثَنَا خَنْزِير, a swine narrated to us. They actually have dogs and pigs and monkeys in their chain of hadith. So that's not as bad as this man, even though this is bad. So the man said, "Da'na man haddathana." Leave off, you know, this trivial science of hadith thing, you know, so and so reported to us to whenever he reported to us. He said, leave that off. So the Sheikh Abu Fayd Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Farisi, he said, get up, you kafir. This was in his house, they were talking. He said, get up, you kafir, and it's because it's not permissible for the likes of you to enter into my house. It's not permissible for the likes of you to enter into my house. ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ إِلَيْنَا. Then the Shaykh turned to us, فقال, and he said, مَا قُلْتُ قَتْلِ أَحَدٍ لَا تَدْخُلُ الدَّارِ إِلَّا هَذَا. He said, I never in the past said this to anyone, meaning except this particular man. Don't come into my house. You see how the people of the past were? They were staunch, they were stern, they were harsh with the people of innovation. He didn't wait and say, what do you mean by that, leave off the sunnah and just come with the Quran? He didn't wait for that. He didn't say, well, maybe, you know, he had a bad day today. Maybe when he woke up, you know, he didn't get the three knots untied from the back of his neck. When he woke up, he didn't say, alhamdulillah. He didn't make wudu or make two rak'ahs. He didn't ask him all. He said, hum, ya kafir. Get up, O kafir. It's not permissible for you to be in my house. Another example, مثال الثاني, وقال الإمام أيوب السختياني رحمه الله, إذا حدثت الرجل بسنة فقال دعنا من هذا أو أجبنا من القرآن فاعلم أنه ضال. The great Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, rahimahullah, who died in the second century, he died 131 after the Hijra, Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, he said, when you narrate to a man something of the Sunnah, when you narrate to a man the Sunnah, a hadith, when you start mentioning the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or an aspect of the Sunnah to a person, and he says, leave this off, leave that. Leave the stuff off. Or he says, answer us with the Quran. Don't answer us with the Sunnah, answer us with the Quran. He said, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ ضَالٌ. He said, then you should know that that person is astray. You should know when that person says that, that that person is astray. He's ضال. The singular for ضالٌ. He's astray. الْمِثَالُ الثَّالِثُ. Third example. وقال الإمام البربهاري رحمه الله وإذا سمعت الرجل تأتيه بالأثر فلا يريده ويريد القرآن فلا شك أنه رجل قد احتوى عليه زندقا فقم من عنده وضعه. إمام البربهاري رحمه الله تعالى, and of course we know that he died 329 years after the Hijra. He said, when you hear a man and he comes with some narration, some athar, and he doesn't desire, meaning he doesn't want to take that athar, that hadith from the Prophet or from the Sahaba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he only desires the Quran, then you shouldn't have any shak. You shouldn't have any shak, any doubt whatsoever that that man has enveloped within him the qualities of zandaqa. And there are a couple of definitions for zandaqa. And one of the definitions for zandaqa of a person who's a zandiq is a hypocrite. One of the definitions of zindaqa is a hypocrite. The person is just so out of it. He's just so out of it. The ulama, they call him zindaqa, zindiq. He says, so you should stand up, get away from that person and leave him. You should stand up, get away from that person, leave him. As-sunni huwa alladhi yatadayyanu bihubb as-sahabati wa yaskutu amma sharaja baynahum wa yastaghfiru lahum. The Sunni / Salafi is the one who, the way he worships Allah, the way he carries out his deen, his religion, he worships Allah and he carries out the affairs of his deen by way of loving the companions of the Messenger of Allah, and he is silent about those things that occurred among the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he seeks forgiveness for them, meaning he makes dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. He asks Allah for the maghfirah for them. The Sunni is the one who, the way he practices his deen, one of the ways he practices the deen, he practices the deen by loving the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the first of the three things. By loving the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa salatu wa salam. Alayhi salatu wa salam. So if you find a person, in other words, who hates the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shows any disdain for the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shows any repudiation of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, talking about them in any way, in a bad light, then you know that that person is not a Sunni. You know that that person is not a Sunni. So this lets us know, of course, that the Shia cannot be Sunni in the general sense of Sunni, nor the specific sense of Sunni, because Ahl Sunnah has two meanings, a general meaning and a specific meaning. You should know this, brothers and sisters. This is a side point. This is a side note. You should know that the term Ahl Sunnah has two meanings. One is general and one is specific. And this is important to know this because we're Sunni. But it's also important to know this because of what the media is putting out these days. The media is always saying the Muslims are divided into two major sects, Sunni and Shia. But this is not true. This is only in the general sense of the phrase Ahlus Sunnah. Ahlus Sunnah in the general sense is any and every Muslim that's not Shia. If he's not a Shi'i in the first general meaning of Ahlus Sunnah, then he is Sunni. So that means, brothers, in the general sense of the meaning of Ahlus Sunnah, the Ash'aris are Sunni. The Ash'aris are Sunni in the general sense of the word. The Sufis are Sunni in the general sense of the word. Wallace D. Muhammad's people are Sunni in the general sense of the word. Anyone who's not Shi'i is Sunni in the general meaning of Ahl Sunnah. As for the specific meaning of Ahl Sunnah, no one is Sunni except the Sunnis. No one is Sunni, the Mu'tazili, the Qadari, the Jabri, the Ash'ari, the Sufi, whoever, none of them are Sunni except for the Salafi. And everyone else in the specific meaning of Ahl Sunnah is Khalafi or Bid'i or an innovator. If you're not Salafi, you're Khalafi and you're an innovator. This is agreed upon and it's the statement of Sheikh Al-Sheikh, the present Mufti of Saudi Arabia. He says, the Muslims are divided into two types, Salafi and Khalafi. And a Khalafi is also called an innovator. So the person who is Sunni, he is the person who he desires the Quran and the Sunnah. And he is a person who loves the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, he is the one who is silent. He is silent. He doesn't talk about those affairs, the discourse that the companions had between themselves. at those particular days and those particular times, he doesn't make it a discussion. He doesn't bring it up so people can get heated up and start talking about this Sahabi did this, the Sahabi did that, they were fighting like this and this, this. No. He has sukut. He's silent about that which shajara bainahum, that which occurred among them. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ النُّجُومُ فَأَمْسِكُوا. When the stars are mentioned in your presence, then be silent. Stars meaning the stars in the sky, meaning talking about astrology and those types of things. Because those things are very technical issues. They can lead a person astray when you start getting into them real deep. إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدْرُ فَأَمْسِكُوا. When qadr is mentioned, meaning those detailed principles of al-qadha wal-qadr, divine decree, predestination, preordination, then refrain from talking about it. Why? It's because the average Muslim, he is going to have a serious problem if he goes real deep talking about al-qadr. The issues of qadr are very detailed. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. And when my companions are mentioned, meaning when those things that occur between my companions are mentioned, then refrain from talking about them. Have sukut. Zip your lip. Zip your lip. And they, the Sunni is the one who seeks forgiveness for the Sahaba, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال الإمام الأوزاعي رحمه الله تعالى لا يجتمع حب علي وعثمان رضي الله تعالى عنهما إلا في قلب مؤمن. Imam al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, who died in the second generation, in the second century, he died 157 after the Hijrah, al-Awza'i, he said that the love of Ali and Uthman, Ali and Uthman, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma wa radahuma, is not combined in the heart or anyone except in the heart of a believer. In other words, when you have the love for Ali and Uthman together, this shows that you have the signs of Iman. In your heart, if you love them, you won't find the love of these two individuals in the heart of anyone except that they are a true believer. Inshallah ta'ala. وَقَالَ الثَّوْرِيُّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. Imam al-Thawri, who died also in the second century. He died 4 years after Imam al-Awza'i, or 3 years after Imam al-Awza'i, inshallah, 160 or 161, and 162, and Allah knows best. He said, لا يجتمع حب علي وعثمان رضي الله تعالى عنهما إلا في قلوب النبلاء الرجال. He said, rahimahullah, that the love of Ali is not, and Uthman is not combined in the heart, or not combined except in the hearts of the noblest of men. In the noblest of the men. It's not combined in the hearts except for the hearts of the noblest of men. And then he said, oh Allah, we call you to witness. That we call you to witness. That you witness about your creatures, all of them. That we love them. Meaning we love the companions. We love these two companions and all of them. إِنَّنَا نُحِبُّهُمْ فِيكَ. We love them for your sake, Allah. We love these two companions and all the companions for your sake. وَنَرُجُ الْخَيْرِ بِحُبِّهِمْ. And by way of loving them, we hope for goodness. We hope for the goodness from Allah by demonstrating that in our deen, we have great love, immense love for the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when you hear people starting to talk about the companions of the Messenger of Allah, like some of you brothers heard me mention years ago when I was living in Brooklyn, New York, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me and take whatever good I did and put it on my good scale when I was on the good side of my scale when I was at Masjid Taqwa in Brooklyn, New York. And I used to go around the corner sometimes and pray in Masjid Mu'mineen. And there was a brother who was talking to after the Salatul Asr. This is about 18 years ago. And I remember he said, he made a statement to me, and I swear by Allah, brothers, I got away from this guy so quickly. I got away from this brother so quickly. He said that Abdullah ibn Umar was arrogant. I said to myself, subhanAllah, I hope this roof doesn't fall. So let me get away from this guy. The roof doesn't fall down on us. And he's standing next to him. He said that Abdullah ibn Umar was arrogant. And I didn't even wait around to find out why he even made the statement. I just left him. And I pray Allah that this brother, because he's still alive and working in the field of da'wah. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he has come to the correct way, the way of a salaf as-salih. As-sunni huwa alladhi yasrahu bi'i'tiqadihi wa khususan 'inda al-fitan. As-sunni as-salafi huwa alladhi yasrahu bi'i'tiqadihi wa khususan 'inda al-fitan. The female Salafi, they are the ones who are explicit when it comes to what they believe. They are explicit, they're not implicit. They are explicit, they are crystal clear. They make what they believe, their aqidah and their manhaj, known. They don't pussyfoot, they don't beat around the bush. Especially in times of fitna, in the times of trials and tribulations, and I like to ask the rhetorical question of which I'm going to answer. Are we not in the times of fitna? The answer is yes. We are in the times of fitna. 15 years ago, Abdurrahman Abdul Khaliq, which is his homeboy, right? Then right after that, we find Safar al-Hawali. Then Salman al-Awda. More fitna coming. And then we find these other people coming right after them or between them. Some not so known, some as known. And then the biggest fitna. With a maddah. The biggest fitna. That hit us probably in the last 50 years. And maybe equal to, and Allah knows best, the fitna of Sayyid Qutb, but right on the heels, if it's not, right on the heels of it, is Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi, of which, until this thing got so huge, many of the American brothers probably didn't even know who he was. But this is a huge fitna. So, the Sunni is the one, الَّذِي يَسْرَحُ بِإِعْتِقَادِهِ وَخُصُوصًا عِنْدَ الْفِتْنِ. He is explicit with his aqidah. He is explicit with his minhaj. He doesn't use flowery statements. He doesn't have kalimat al-mujmala. He doesn't make general, you know, like glazing it over, you know, trying to like, well, we really don't mean... No, he's explicit, especially in times of fitna. And he is one, la yaskut. He doesn't remain silent. He doesn't remain silent. He lets the people know, this is my aqidah. My aqidah is salafiyya. This is my minhaj. My minhaj is salafi. I traverse the way of a salaf as-salih. I'm not tablighi. I'm not burhani. I'm not bilali. I'm not chisti. I'm not shadili. I'm salafi, sunni, haqiqi. I'm a clear salafi, especially in times of fitna. He has to make the mark of demarcation. He has to make things clear. He has to separate himself from the other people and from their manahij and their aqa'id, from their methodologies and their beliefs and their creeds and their philosophies. He is clear, crystal clear. وَلَا يَسْكُتْ. He's not silent. He doesn't come with الْكَلِمَاتُ الْمُجْمَلَ. He doesn't come with, you know, general terms. بَلْ يَسْرَحُ وَيَضْعُ النُّقَاطُ فَوْقُ الْحُرُوبِ. But rather, he is explicitly clear, crystal clear in his statements and his actions as a Salafi, as a Sunni, and he places the dots on their letters, meaning he dots every I and he crosses every T. He makes things crystal clear. He doesn't, when he writes, literally, figuratively speaking, when he speaks, he makes it clear that that's I-T. You know, he crosses that T. He puts a dot on that I. So you won't think it's I-L. You see? An example of this. فَهَذَا دَاوُودُ بْنُ عَلِيٍّ الْأَصْبَهَانِي الْمَعْرُوفِ بِدَاوُودَ الظَّاهِرِي. قد قال في القرآن في الزمن المحنة أنه محدث، فقام عليه خلق من أئمة الحديث وبدعوه. An example of the Sunni that he's explicit in his beliefs, specifically in the times of fitnas, and that he doesn't use general terms, he uses comprehensive, detailed, explicit terms, and he's not silent. He dots every I, crosses every T. An example of that is this Dawood, the son of Ali al-Asbahani, commonly known or well known as Dawood al-Zahiri, who died 270 years after the Hijra. Dawood al-Zahiri. Dawood al-Zahiri was from what they call the Zahiri school with Ibn Hazm, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He, during those particular years of the trial that was plaguing the Muslims at that time, and we know Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal went through this, we know that Imam al-Bukhari went through this. This was a big fitna in those days, saying that the Quran was created. Well, Dawood al-Zahiri said that the Quran was an incident. And some might even say it might be translated as an accident. An incident or an accident. So when he said this, the people got up, left him from among the people of knowledge. Some of the people of knowledge got up and left him. They abandoned him. They made the hujjah against him. They brought the proofs against him. And they deemed him a mubtadi'. They deemed him a mubtadi'. They made tabdi' on him. When you say takfir, takfir means kaffaruhu. They made him a kafir. They deemed him a kafir. When you say badda'uhu, this is tabdi', meaning they made him a mubtadi'. If they say fassaquhu, this is the Arabic lesson, by the way. Fassaquhu, it means they made him, said he was a fasiq. And of course, they didn't do it to him. He does it to himself. The person takes himself out of Islam. We don't say he took so-and-so out of Islam. Likewise, when a person leaves the manhaj, we don't say, like Abu Usama al-Zahabi says, they running around trying to make everybody take everybody off the manhaj. No. We're not taking people off the manhaj. You take your doggone self off the manhaj. You did it to yourself, so all we say is, he said so-and-so, and he did so-and-so, and he said such-and-such, and he did such-and-such. Therefore, we don't consider him Salafi, so you take yourself off the manhaj. So Dawood al-Zahiri, he took himself off of that which is Sunni by saying that the Quran was an incident. So the people, they brought the proofs against him. They left him. They deemed him as a mubtadi'. And then Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahaway, rahimahullah, who died in the 3rd century, exactly 238 after the Hijra, لَمَّا سَمِعَ كَلَامَ دَاوُودَ فِي بَيْتِهِ. When Ishaq ibn Rahaway, the Imam Ishaq ibn Rahaway, one of the mountains of knowledge, rahmatullahi alayhi, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, rahimahullah, when he heard the statements of Dawood that he made about the Quran in his house, and this is the important part right here, وَكَانَ مِنْ قَبْلُ يُعَظِّمُهُ. And before he heard, before Ishaq, an imam, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, heard Dawood al-Zahiri make this statement about the Quran, كَانَ يُعَظِّمُهُ. Before he heard him make that statement, he used to glorify and magnify and praise Dawood al-Zahiri. Pay attention, sisters. Pay attention, sisters back there. Pay attention, brothers. He used to magnify and glorify Dawood al-Zahiri. That's why I said recently on SalafiTalk.net, when I found out yesterday that there was a brother who was playing the tapes that I recorded at Masjid al-Muslimin. May Allah bless those brothers and sisters there and continue to make them a thorn in the necks of the Hizbiyun in New York. They are Salafis. You should visit that Masjid al-Muslimin in Brooklyn, New York, on Fulton in Buffalo. It's a plug, right? You gotta hang out with the Salafis, right? You gotta stick with the Salafis. That's why those tapes, those 14 tapes, and I don't know how they became 18, because the brother said 18, how to build an Islamic household, has some good stuff in there. But I realize now that there's some serious mistakes in there. And there's even some things, as I mentioned on SalafiTalk.net, that are dangerous. And there's some people and some organizations and some magazines that I praised and I glorified and I magnified and I gave the tazkiyah for. Well, Ishaq ibn Rahoway, similar to Dawood Adib, he used to praise and glorify Dawood al-Zahiri. But when he heard that statement, ثَبَّ عَلَيْهِ وَضَرَبَهُ وَأَنْكَرَ عَلَيْهِ, in his house, he literally jumped on him, physically jumped on him, started beating him and repudiating him. Physically jumped on him, started striking him and repudiating him. That's what he did to this person just because he said what he said. And inshallah tomorrow we're going to bring another story, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, connected to Dawood. I hope you brothers are here. I hope you sisters are here. Because there's another story connected to Dawood al-Zahiri, which puts the icing on the cake from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Al-Imam Ubaydullah ibn Abd al-Karim al-Razi, rahimahullah, Abu Zur'a al-Razi, yaqul fi Dawood, لو اقتصر على ما يقتصر عليه أهل العلم لظننت أنه يكمد أهل البدع بما عنده من البيان والآلة ولكنه تعدى. In conclusion, and if we have any time for questions, inshallah, in conclusion, and until tomorrow, inshallah, Al-Imam Ubaydullah ibn Abd al-Karim al-Razi, Abu Zur'a al-Razi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said pertaining to Dawood al-Zahiri, who made that statement about the Quran, he said, if he only had restricted himself, if he only had confined himself to that which the people of knowledge, meaning the people of the sunnah wal jama'ah who have knowledge, had restricted themselves to, I would have thought that he would have been able to bring grief. He would have been able to bring sadness. He would have been able to have bring destruction. As we say in America, he would have given them fever. He would have given fever to the people of Bid'ah from what he had of him from in himself, of eloquence, of the ability to do this and to do that, because Dawood al-Zahiri had some skills. He had some skills. He wasn't like a nimcompoop, an ignoramus. He had some technical skills. لَكِنَّهُ تَعَدَّى, but he transgressed. He didn't do what the people of the past said. الْإِقْتِصَادُ فِي سُنَّةٍ خَيْرٌ من الاجتهاد في بدعة. To be economical, to stick with what you already have in the sunnah is better than being diligent and stretching out and using your independent reasoning in the bid'ah. If he had only اقتصر ما عليه ما يقتصر عليه أهل العلم, if he had only stuck to and been restricted to and confined himself to what the people of that time were saying about the Quran, he could have demolished the people of bid'ah. But he went over the limits, not following the statement of Imam al-Zai'i. Isbiru nafsaka ala sunnah. Be patient with yourself on the sunnah. Right? Waqif hayfu waqaf al-qawm. And stop where the people stopped. Waqul bima qalu. And say what they used to say. Waqufa amma kaffu anhu. To the end of that beautiful statement. And refrain and restrict yourselves from that was the people of the past. Refrain and restricted yourself from. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.